Yeah, I'm drunk again. I celebrating my best friend's birthday, and like I get some beers and some vodka, some Long Island iced tea, and yeah, it's good time, good time. Yeah. Had to record this Paleobites patron recorded message, and I've already done one that's drunk, but I thought I'd do one again. And you know, I mean, if we do this kind of thing over and over and over and over and over, I have a Patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for the podcast Paleodites, where we discuss pop culture. about prehistoric animals. And last month we talked about Godzilla Minus One, and this month we're talking about the Google Chrome. Yeah, the internet browser. I said what I said. So last month, Godzilla Minus One, really, really good. The Godzilla movies, they did good. Good job, Japan, you did good. And then Google Chrome. Good job. I was about to say Bill Gates, but this is Microsoft. He did Edge, and no one uses Edge. The link is in the description. But you can sign up to the Patreon for your support. And have a good day.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast more ass than the Triassic. We're more like the Tetra or Pinta Assic. Laura's just shrugging at me like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why the hell am I on this show?
Spoilers.
Yeah, so for the person, the undisclosed co-host.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not mentioned in the description of the episode like all the other times. So my name is Matthew Don. Each week, I'm a rotating series of guest co-hosts. Talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, who am I joined by? I guess we'll never know. It's Laura Owsley.
I'm feeling very ambiguous. How are you?
I'm feeling ambiguous. I'm feeling pretty prestigious.
Ooh. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty prestigious.
Well, okay, yes, thank you.
But I'm all right. I'm starting to get a little bit hungry. Maybe we could order some food after
this. Yeah. It is, I don't know how many you've recorded, but this is the first, well, technically our second, because we've recorded a few in a row.
Yeah.
Podcast recording of 2024.
Yes, it is one of our first episodes of 2024. It's the first recording session of 2024 for sure. So do you have any 2024 goals?
I've got a few. I've got some fun ones and serious ones.
Yeah.
So like of the serious ones, right, I'm trying to feel like more connected, right?
Okay.
So I'm trying to like, not like only like with like friends and family, but like right. Within myself.
Occasionally record Paleobites podcast with friends.
Yeah, exactly.
For free because you're a good person.
Exactly. You know, give back to my community. No.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate
But my fun one is I'm trying to try more pasta shapes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say trying to try more podcasts.
I'm trying to try more podcasts. I'm trying to like up my game here.
Okay,
you know?
Pasta shapes. Interesting. So
if you're in the Denver area and you have a podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, but no.
Yeah, is there a pasta podcast? Surely there is.
Surely. I feel like it's probably done by people who can actually make pasta and don't just go to the store.
I actually read something. That's it was like it's like the IKEA effect or like IKEA, something like that. It's like people take more pride and ownership over something they've made or built themselves.
Yeah,
that's like it's like in terms of something like that. I thought that was very interesting. But for me with my low self esteem, I have like the anti IKEA effect, where like if I built it myself, I'm like. I even if I followed the instructions to the letter, I clearly screwed something up. Something's going to go wrong.
Oh,
I don't
no.
trust myself to have done this correctly. But if someone else builds, I'm like, oh, it's a professional. They know what they're doing. Yeah,
they totally know what they're doing.
And if it crashes under the chair, the professional built crashes under my feet, I'm like, I still don't blame them. I blame myself. Like I must have sat on it wrong.
Yeah.
So
there's a Schitt's Creek episode in which Myra talks about like, you know, I used to know how to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I married your father and we had money and so then we could hire people and you always think that you'll always know how to do stuff.
It's like riding a bike, right?
Yeah. And that's how I low-key feel about, like, building furniture and stuff. Because, like, I've built my own, like, you know, like IKEA stuff, right?
Yeah.
Plus, I have a degree in theater.
Oh, yes. Right?
Like, I've...
A very, very useful and prestigious degree,
yes,
of course.
Thank you.
right there, like, with New Age philosophy and English.
Yeah. And I'm not, like, I, you know, carpentry expert. I'm not a carpenter, but I can,
you're,
like,
no, you're no Jesus.
I've no Jesus. I've met him a few times.
He was in your carpentry school with you.
Yeah, he took the wheel when I was on a car accident.
Of course, as he would, yes.
But because of that, I feel like I can do the basics, right? Yeah. Like, I can put together a shelf or whatever.
Okay.
I probably would freak out installing it, because I don't know where studs are. But, like, anyways, I now have a friend who she loves building, like, IKEA furniture and stuff. And so the last, like, three things that I've bought that are, like, you know, assemble yourself.
Right.
I've just invited her over and promised her, like, oh, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. And she's like, great.
Well, it's like, you don't need to buy me anything. And
does everything.
You don't need to buy me anything. The building is the reward.
Yeah, literally. Literally.
No, I get, like, that, though. Nope, I can't do it. I do not trust my own judgment. But there's some people, though, who do love to build stuff. Have you seen the movie Klaus, the Netflix movie?
Oh, yes. Not this season. Last season.
But I like it. It's pretty good. But that Klaus guy, the one who becomes Santa Claus, he's like, he's such a builder. He builds all those toys. He's like, I built us a house. And I'm like, well, what a man. He builds stuff in the woods.
Have you seen that meme going around of if men flirted like birds? And it's like, I built you this house. Did this whole elaborate dance just to impress you. And then it's like, if birds flirted like men, and it's these two birds sitting on a stoop, and the one bird goes, I showed you my dick. Please respond.
Sorry, it's a bird. It should be, I showed you my cock. Oh my god, you know, look, we're not that much evolved. If you look at dating sites, it's basically the same as animals, where it's like a bunch of men showboating trying to get a woman's attention.
honestly, so
screw that. Let's talk about something else completely different. Even though we met on Bumble, and even though it wasn't intended to be a romance, I'm still very happy we met on, like,
it's
you can meet friends on Bumble too. It's quite nice.
Yeah, it's true. We met up for a cup of coffee at a coffee shop I did not realize was super Christian.
Yeah, I mean, I was there. I was like, wow. It gave me an interesting first impression of you. I was like, is she super religious?
This is a weird choice. And here I was like, I just like trying new coffee shops. Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember before you arrived, I was talking to the owner there about God and other sort of stuff, and like, like, yeah, so that was fun. I'm like, yeah, I'm on a date here. So, yeah, anyways,
I just remember she said something when I got there of like, he's a real keeper, and I went, that's just what he wants you to believe.
Yeah,
I kind of paused. I was like, I really don't know this.
Well, look, here I am. I still haven't left.
That's true. She just didn't know the context.
You were just like, I found out I was into women, then I'm like, you know what? That makes sense. Most women who go out with me are like, this is what men have to offer? No, women.
Never mind.
Anyways, so like that character from Schitt's Creek was like, I used to know how to do things. And so that's how I feel like that. Like, I used to know how to do things. And now I do a dinosaur podcast. And speaking of which, we're talking about not a dinosaur. We're talking about Simba Kubwa.
Simba Kubwa.
Means great lion in Swahili. Made people scat Swahili since 1994.
I am so sorry to the actual language and culture that we have just offended.
It's people have done it all over. It's like
hardly just us.
Yeah, of course. Simba, like, as you can tell with the lion part, it, like, because if people who don't know, and most of the characters in The Lion King are named, we have Swahili words. The only ones that aren't are Scar, obviously, and then Ed, obviously.
So, what? Ed's not a Swahili word?
No. But Lang. Also, apparently Scar's real name is Taka. He got the name Scar. When he got the scar, and Taka means trash in Swahili, so he was just destined for bad things.
No wonder he turned out to be evil. Like,
Mufasa means king. So, and like I said, I said you off the air, and that means the movie title in Swahili is Simba Mufasa.
Simba Mufasa.
Mufasa.
What a creative word. Creative title for a Disney movie. Well, very creative.
Well, Lion King on itself is fine, but just naming the main character, his name is Lion.
Well, I was going to say, like, even the plot is just a ripoff of Hamlet.
Yeah. Like, well, it's funny because then the plot of the sequel is a ripoff of Romeo and Juliet. So...
is there a third? I mean, there's
there was the Lion King 1.5, which is like a ripoff of Rosencrantz or Whatever Are Dead, which is that one.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, yeah.
I do have it, like we stated, a degree in theater.
Uh-huh.
I do, like, enjoy most Shakespeare, like, adaptations.
Yeah, it's like...
the first time I watched Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead...
that's what it is, yeah.
I probably just butchered that title, too. It's
better than what I said.
Fair. I was like, oh, this isn't very entertaining. I think this is only funny if you, like...
well, that's not technically Shakespeare. It's based on a Shakespeare
thing. Yeah.
It's a side thing of
Shakespeare. It's like a spin-off, almost, of Hamlet.
My Shakespeare adaptations are She's the Man, and, okay. like... I don't know what another one that was. Lion King. Those are my favorite.
There's a new one out in theaters right now.
Oh, it's the one. Yeah, I think I've seen clips of it or something. Yeah, it's also Taming of the Shrew, just like 10 Things About You.
Anyone But You, and it's supposed to be Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, Much Ado About Nothing is what it is. Oh, I thought it was Taming of the Shrew.
Which is kind of like Taming of the Shrew, but better because she's not like, you know, starved into loving him.
Well, look, all those relationships back then were problematic, of course. Well, not all of them, a lot of them. So,
well, no, most of them.
Speaking of not problematic, though, it's this Simba Cubwa.
The Simba Cubwa.
It's a hyena dauntid, a group of pre-carnivore mammals not related to hyenas, but having similar teeth, hence their name.
Honestly, though, like looking at this creature, it kind of reminds me of those, you know, the really big cats that are like TikTok famous.
Yeah, the ones that people hold like this. Yes. Yeah, like, yeah.
Yes, they hold like. Like how men hold fish in dating profiles.
So they hold them like this with the tail up or like just
I know more when they like have like both hands, they're like showing it to the camera, like a little kid would like show their toy to you. This reminds me of the Maine Coon cats of TikTok.
Yes.
In the sense that I mean, I know so many white women who would swoon over this creature and
Same people who get all those Stanley cups. That kind of demographic.
Yes.
Who wait for 5 hours to get a cup.
Yes, exactly. They'd be like, take this creature home, name him Mr. Ruffles.
Yes.
And give him a little dog bed.
Well, he might need a big dog bed because his size is 9 to 10 feet / 2.8 to 3.1 meters long.
Then I know those same girls would ride this creature into battle.
1,760 to 3,300 pounds, 800 to 1,500 kilograms.
You're saying not a good, like, studio apartment.
No. This is potentially the largest terrestrial mammal predator ever. So outsizing bears and all cats and, like, great cats and others.
To be fair, I know people who would absolutely, like, take home and keep a bear as a pet if they could.
I've actually touched a bear cub. It's actually their fur is incredibly rough. It's very disappointing. It's like straws.
You see, I'm no better than the white women that we're joking about or poking fun at because I just went,
you touched a
petting a predator baby creature.
A park ranger was holding it in her arms and carried it on the bus and we got to pet it. Well, obviously one at a time because we want to overwhelm the animal, but we got to pet it. And is that South Dakota? So
South Dakota. Yes. Dakota.
We're not getting to that again. Okay, so diet's carnivore. Like I said, largest terrestrial predator ever. Pay attention. Time, early Miocene, 23 to 22 million years ago. So about halfway or a third of the way between us and the dinosaurs.
Okay.
Location, Kenya. Makes sense because of the name. Described in 2019. Pop culture appearances, Jurassic World, the game as usual, and a few other park building games from about prehistory because there's heaps of them and no one listened to Jurassic Park. But the idea of that movie was don't build a dinosaur park and everyone's like let's build a dinosaur park. So,
I mean there's about 7 sequels proving why that's a bad idea.
Yeah, it's like Jurassic, and then like in the fifth one they blow up the island entirely because like we can't keep going back to they were like, we can't keep justifying people go back to this island, so let's blow up the island and bring the dinosaurs to the world. So the Jurassic World is a double meaning. In the final one, Dominion, they're all over. So
great. There's like Jurassic Planet.
Yeah, basically. There's a great scene where it's like a black market in Malta, where like people have like dinosaurs and selling them off.
That's kind of cool, actually.
So, no, it's pretty cool. There's like a pilot that goes there, and like the people are fighting them in a ring or something. It's like, yeah. Anyways, back in the early days of taxonomical record keeping, scientists came up with the term carnivora, described not simply meat eating animals, but mammals in a specific order that are usually predatory, but sometimes omnivorous, or in the case of pandas, fully herbivorous. So carnivora, from a traditional standpoint, means meat eater, but from a taxonomical standpoint, it means mammals within this order. Not confusing at all, though.
Yeah.
The carnivores are split into two suborders, caniforms and feliforms. Caniforms, as well, obviously dogs, also include bears, mustelids, and raccoons and pinnipeds, like seals and sea lions. And feliforms, as well as obviously cats, include mongooses, hyenas, meerkats, and civets, and fusas.
Fusas,
like from Madagascar, the movie.
Oh.
The fusa.
So then can I, before you get to it, totally interrupt you with the pop culture appearance?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
So isn't this, and you will, I'm sure, correct me because I'm sure I'm wrong. Isn't this Diego from Ice Age?
No.
Oh.
Diego from Ice Age is a Smilodon. He's a saber-toothed cat. He's a saber-toothed tiger. Also, this was described in 2019, which is well after all the Ice Age movies came out. So,
I mean.
Look, you were on to something there. You thought you were on.
Look, he looks a lot like Diego from Ice Age.
He kind of does, yeah.
Like.
But no, Diego from Ice Age is a Smilodon or a saber-toothed cat. Let's see, I got a picture of him here. Smilodon.
Not to poke too much fun at Matt, but it's very funny to me whenever like I refer to, because we both have our laptops up. Oh.
Yeah, it's like that's actually a cat.
I see.
So.
Is this not related to cats?
Here, I'm getting to it. So in this carnivora group of mammals, you got all this. So we got the caniform, feliform, you got all that. But let's throw it all away, because the hyenodonts, the family of Simbacuba, are from an order of mammals evolving adjacent to the carnivora era that were not carnivores themselves, even though they were predators. Here's the creature. Okay, so, you know, taxonomy, like mammals are related to and split and other stuff. So these are what used to be called creodonts, an outdated group of anyways, the order of creodonts that Simbacuba is a part of is in the clade that's still around of Ferae, which is a superorder of mammals that include carnivores. And the other group it includes are pangolins.
Pangolins?
Like, you know, like the little guys with the armor that's like,
aww.
Could you go out to me on the middle grade prom? You know those guys that look so awkward?
That's so wild that they're related.
Yeah. This is actually closer related to the pangolins than the carnivores.
Huh.
But don't think it's anywhere near as awkwardly cute, though. This is a ferocious predator.
I mean, think of the baby version, though.
But it didn't have the armor plating, though, at all, though. But it's like the way they hold their hands up, it does look like they're about to ask a girl out to prom. Like,
aww.
That's how it looks. It's like, could you go to prom with me?
Wait,
I'll bring you some flowers.
Oh.
He's trying so hard. Laura's pouting, so she's so bad for the pangolin. So the hyenodonts as a family are known for their bone crushing jaws. But Simbacuba's jaws are more built for shearing and cutting, implying they slashed at prey rather than crushed it. But this means that they might have eaten bigger prey. Because here's the thing. This is actually a parallel to Allosaurus compared to T-Rex in terms of dinosaurs. So T-Rex, you know, had a giant head. That's one of the reasons why its arms are so little, so it could have the giant head counterbalancing.
Sure.
And the reason why it had the giant head, it was built for crushing, like crushing bone.
Right.
More so than other meat-eating dinosaurs. So that was really good for hunting the duckbills in its area, or like Triceratops area. There was a long neck in its area, Alamosaurus, but T-Rex was not built to hunt it. Its jaws were not, I mean, unless it could like grab the neck and crush it. But no. But then Allosaurus, which is a smaller meat-eating dinosaur, but still pretty big, its jaws are meant more for slashing. And it did hunt long necks, because there were so many long necks in its time and place. And by slashing, it could like slash at their legs and slash at theirs and get them to topple down. So this implies with Simbacuba since it was more meant for slashing, it could go after giant prey. It was already enormous, and go after even bigger prey, like giant elephant relatives called Dinotherium. Or like giant rhinos, like
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So Dinotherium was like 15 feet tall and 14 tons. So I'm not saying you could probably bring an adult down of those, but you could probably bring down one of the infants. So, so, but still, way bigger than a normal elephant. And that's what it lived with. So,
well, all right.
So, yeah, Simba Cobra, it's pretty badass.
Pretty badass.
And yet it was related to a pangolin.
And yet its first cousin. I like to think it's one of those, like, you know the Pixie and Brutus comics?
No.
Oh,
that's actually one that's completely gone over my head.
I'm sure you've seen.
I'm sure if someone saw my picture, been like, "Oh, those, yeah, like,
yeah." He's gone viral a few times for them, especially his first ever one went viral.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the idea of having the big scary one and the tiny little creature that it protects.
Oh yes. Oh, wait, no, maybe I've seen this. Yeah, hold on, let's see. Oh, yeah, I think I've seen those. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Simba Koopa with a pangolin on its head or something, is that what you're thinking of?
Yes, exactly.
It's like the pangolin's like awkwardly looking like, this is my giant ride.
Like, wow, you're so small and tiny and defenseless.
The Simba Koopa's like, I must be
your protector.
I'm just protecting your cousin, my cousin, or whatever. Yeah.
Like, I like to think that, like, this guy goes out and, like, murders gigantic elephant-related creatures.
Yes,
right?
By skins or whatever the term is, yeah.
And then, like, shares its hull with its little tiny cousin.
Nice. I could see that. You know, there have been kind of reports of animals. I mean, it's hard to say if they're having pets, because pets implies one of them is better than the other. But there are definitely animals that shouldn't be with each other, and they're not doing it for any symbiosis reason. They're just hanging out. Like,
they're definitely best friends.
Yeah, but, like, it's like, there's been something like a bear in a bear den, and there's like an animal that bear should be eating but isn't, and it's just hanging out there. It's like, is that the bear's pet? Like, it's like a quail or something. And I've seen it's like that before.
The bear's like, this is Phil.
Yeah,
this is my roommate.
Yeah, it's like, we don't eat him.
Yeah, Phil's chill.
We feed
He's got
Phil,
the
but we don't
best grilled cheese like recipes ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
Phil the Quail.
Phil the Quail.
Yeah.
Phil the Quail. That is your spinoff.
And
book
then
series.
Larry the Berry.
You know, it's a stretch.
What's
but
a name that rhymes with bear? Claire. Yeah. Okay.
Cher.
What about guy's name that rhymes with bear?
Cher.
See, it's Owens and Y. Jerry, Barry, Larry, Harry. Gary, Carrie,
Lair
the bear,
Lair,
and
Lair.
Phil the Quill,
Phil the Quill,
Lair the bear.
Perfect.
Anyways, that's it for this. Wait, we got right around 65 million.
Yeah.
I rate it as well as 55 million, because it's so damn cool. I rate it at least one. Ah, so we know what we.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm going to rate it about 12 story arcs of a comic.
Mm. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Story arcs. Like, that's like not just like panels, the whole story. Wow, that's a really huge rating. Man,
you must love this thing. Calvin and Hobbes will have like story arcs within like the normal like comics.
You know, Archie will have to fight between Betty and Veronica constantly and date one and then date the other. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's it for this week. If you want to get hold of the show, you can contact me at palebytespodcast@gmail.com, palebytespod Instagram, palebytespodcast palebytespod on Twitter, and palebytespodcast on Instagram. Where can they find you?
They can find me at Thespian Laura, thespianlaura. I'm on most of her main platforms.
If you're listening to this, follow her on TikTok.
Follow me on TikTok. I promise to never make a video until I hit 100 followers.
And maybe not even then. Yeah. Also, leave us a 5-star rating if you could on whatever platform you could. Gets the word out. Possibly review. Or if you could, you know, you could also leave us a 1-star review if you want. People have done that before. So,
I mean, I think we would prefer a 5-star review.
Right. But like, I don't want people to lie. Honestly, you know what? It's like that whole thing. Like, maybe we need. It's like books that are like, if they're 5 stars, but on average, but they only have 12 reviews, people are like, eh. But if it's like 4.7 stars, but they have like 1,000 reviews, people are like, oh.
I mean, you know, to be fair, like, I write reviews for Google Maps, right? And I trust a place more that has like a 4.5 rating than a place that has a perfect 5-star rating.
Oh, I've heard that before too. It's like you want the places that have 4 or 3 rather than 5 or 1.
Right, exactly.
So, like, anyways. The book series is Amazon Megazord, available for print and Kindle. This ammo evolved well after when Megazord took place, so none of that. But maybe in the sequel. Except, no, probably not. Which, again, that'd be, I don't know. Anyway, that's it for this week. We'll see you at the end of every episode of Paleobites. We're not racist, we hope.
Sorry.
We're appropriating the Swahili language.
We're just trying to appropriate Disney's whitewashed version of the Swahili.
It's whitewashed, but it's Disney. It's whitewashed, but it is Disney. It's whitewashed, but only it's Disney.
It's whitewashed, and it's Disney.
Anyways, all right, bye.
Bye. All right, cool.